The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene, help us here.
Well, first of all, I think everything's always better with dragons. Whether you imagine dragons or they are real dragons, everything is better with a dragon.
And with a tequila, I might tell you.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I was thinking of this since yesterday, since I was told that there was tequila.
Right.
It was tequila Thursday rather than tequila Mockingbird. I once had a dessert tequila that you can only get in Mexico. That was something out of this world. If anybody can enlighten me on what it's called, it comes in a gorgeous, like a turquoise bottle that I remember. What it's called, I have no clue.
So it's a dessert tequila, and it comes in a gorgeous turquoise bottle.
Yes.
We've got the experts in the studio. They're refusing to leave. I'm going to have to get them out here with a crowbar.
Responsible waiting for my Uber.
All right. So does anyone have any idea what Rolene is talking about?
I'd like to try it, but it's certainly not in our shop.
It is outstanding if you can get hold of it. Second of all, in solidarity with you, I will be going to Taqueria, which is my favorite taco place in Tel Aviv, to have one of their signature frozen margaritas, which are to die for. So how would you know I like to be in solidarity
right.
with
you?
Right,
you know, the things you do for us, Rolene, it's absolutely amazing. Never mind that, the things that Israel is doing for the world. Israel allegedly, unconfirmed, has bomb. Oh gosh, and now they have to carry on. Horrible, horrible song. You guys have alcohol to deal with it. We don't. All right. And somebody else sang nice song. Thank you. At least somebody's enjoying it. Right, Rolene, tell us what happened. Tell us what happened in Israel or Syria last night.
Well, we now know that it's not allegedly, even though the military will not confirm or deny reports, but apparently Israeli planes did strike a military base near the city of Masyaf in the Chama Governorate. Oh, my God, just talking about tequila and I'm slurring my words.
I was just going to say, yeah.
So we have allegedly bombed a site belonging to the Syrian Scientific Studies and Research Center. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it by its real pronunciation, which is in French, which is the body responsible for the development of chemical weapons. And it is alleged that this happened around about 2:42 a.m. Israeli time. And rockets were launched. And hopefully they have destroyed this chemical weapons facility. And the Syrian army has warned of serious repercussions if such acts of aggression continue. And they say that they are renewing their determination to crush terrorism and uproot it from all of the territory of the Syrian Republic.
Hold on. I've just had a tequila, so you've got to go slow with me. You're saying that Syria is rejecting Israeli aggression. This is the country that has just killed 83 women and children using sarin gas.
Yes.
Okay, no, I got it. It makes perfect sense then to me. And has there been any comment from anyone else in the world?
Well, there hasn't been that many comments because, of course, you know, when it happens to be Israel destroying a major aggressor's chemical fields, nobody's going to give us the pat on the back, which, quite frankly, we deserve. What we have heard from the United Nations is exactly what you just mentioned, that the Syrian regime forces were responsible for a chemical attack on the town of Khan Sheikhoun in April, which killed 83 people, a third of them children, and injured hundreds more. And that was they've concluded that the use of sarin gas was indeed used. And I don't know about you, Howard, and maybe it's because you've had a tequila, maybe I've had a glass of wine or something, but I'm hearing crickets from our friends who had a lot to say last week on other radio stations.
It's absolutely unbelievable that it doesn't even get a mention. It barely gets a mention across popular press. I saw it on BBC. I don't think our local press have been reporting on this. It's just absolutely unbelievable that this is that probably it's the most horrific type of human rights abuse, and it actually makes no difference to anybody. There's almost a shrug of shoulders.
In fact, if we rewind back a couple of months, and we speak about the United Nations, and we speak about the fact that they were asked to bury a report on all the good that Israel is doing in Syria. So that pretty much tells me where the world is with regards to Israel. You know, unless they can blame us for atrocities against Palestinians, nobody's interested. But when it comes to saving lives in Syria, we hear a deathly silence and even the burying of reports. And when it comes to the fact that Syrian civilians, many of whom know that they can find help from the Israelis, the world is silent, just like the world is silent in Burma as well this week. Mm-hmm. Reports of the atrocities in Burma have come out. And again, crickets.
It's absolutely incredible, and not a word, certainly not a word from the South African government with regard to any of the above, because it just doesn't make, it just doesn't fit the narrative. Speaking of which, it's 45 years since the terrible Munich terror attack. Rivlin inaugurates a Munich memorial. Tell us about it.
Well, our president, Ruvi Rivlin, was in Munich yesterday and today, and he unveiled a memorial to the slain team members. And I'm just going to read their names, their ages, and what they were responsible for, because I think that it's very important to keep their memory alive. So Moshe Weinberg, 32, he was a weightlifter. Yosef Romano, 32. Ze'ev Friedman, 28. David Berger, 28. Weightlifting judge Yaakov Springer, he was 51. Wrestlers Eliezer Halfen, 24. Mark Slaven, at 18. Wrestling referee Yosef Gutfreund, 40 years old. Shooting coach Kehat Shor, 53. Fencing coach Andre Spitzer, 27. And track coach Amitzul Shapira, who was 40. And we bow our heads in memoriam for the 11 murdered Olympic athletes and their coaches. I think that this goes down as one of the most horrific terror attacks on Israelis outside of Israeli territory in the history of the state of Israel. The fact that it happened at the Olympics, which is meant to celebrate the brotherhood of men and the Olympic spirit of sportsmanship, as well as in Germany, very, very shortly after that country was responsible for the regime that wiped out, I think it was a third of global Jewry. And I think we can all remember what Prime Minister at the time, Golda Meir, said about the fact that once again Jews were being murdered on German soil. So in the last couple of days, our president has been there and has inaugurated a memorial to our slain athletes.
Yep, it's absolutely, absolutely horrific, and I don't think that certainly we can ever really recover from that type of terror. And staying on the subject of terror, Hamas leader has told the Jerusalem Post that we are ready for a long-term ceasefire. Can we have any faith in this?
Well, I think when it comes to Hamas, we're all there with a more than a generous dollop of cynicism. I mean, just a couple of months ago, they said they are releasing their newly worded charter. Basically,
I didn't get a copy, Roland.
I also didn't get a copy because I think it's pretty much common knowledge that you and I are pretty smart when it comes to these things. And we'd know, just as most people who are au fait with the kind of terror that they propagate, is that the jig is up. Just because you rephrase certain paragraphs and sentences
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean that the sentiment is any different.
So why would they say this? What would be the point now of Hamas trying to establish some kind of an understanding that they are going to be involved in a long-term ceasefire? What's to be gained for them.
Well, this is quite interesting. This is a high-ranking or senior Hamas official in the West Bank. His name is Hassan Youssef, and he said that Hamas is prepared to make a long-term ceasefire with the quote-unquote Israeli occupation in return for it allowing the residents of Gaza to live like all other people in the world with everything they need. I mean, just the irony of the statement. So, you know, I would want to challenge him and say to him, so you will allow for the freedom of movement, sexual orientation, the freedom of expression, the freedom to gather politically and to criticize. You would allow for that. I mean, this in a week where, okay, it's not Hamas, but the Palestinian Authority is facing heavy international criticism for their arrest of journalists for criticizing Mahmoud Abbas. Imagine what happens. Well, we know what happens when you criticize Hamas. You find yourself summarily executed or thrown off the top of a building.
Absolutely.
And he goes on to say, he says, I mean, the Israeli occupation needs to allow for the freedom of movement, going and coming for travelers, students, sick people, expatriates, and others who desire to move, export and import and everything else. It needs to lift its oppressive siege. Now, they don't go into the reasons, naturally, why we do have a maritime blockade in place. And that is because of the smuggling of weapons. And that is because we don't trust them with regards to ceasefires. If we go back to Operation Tsuk Eitan or Protective Edge, which happened a little over 3 years ago, how many ceasefires did they violate in that time? So, I don't think that we're going to be dancing a horror anytime soon saying, yay, Hamas has agreed to a ceasefire. We're going to watch this very, very cautiously, as you can well expect.
Unsigned WhatsApp saying Germany was not to blame for the Olympic terror attack, though. I don't believe that Golda Meir's comment was that they were to blame. I think she was saying that it was just happening again, a death of Jews again on German soil.
No, well, while we're on the subject of Hamas, we'll go back to some of their early compatriots, Black September, who committed this atrocity. And I think exactly what Golda Meir was trying to say, that the pain for Jews of seeing their fellow Jews killed again on German soil is too much to bear. And we're still waiting to this day for the International Olympic Committee to declare a moment of silence when they have their events.
What has been the resistance to that? How could they? On what basis would they be able to say that that is not a good idea? It happened on their watch. It happened at the Olympic Village. It happened during the Olympics. There was nothing that did it that they could distance themselves from. It's not saying that they did it, but certainly they. You would have thought that this would have been something that they would have been receptive to.
Well, this is it. Why don't they speak? I think, again, that politics has entered the sporting arena, as we have seen on so many occasions, and there perhaps are blocks within the Olympic Committee that say, rather, let's not do this. You know, they're Israeli athletes. That is my presumption. I could be wrong, but that is my presumption, like we see with so many other international bodies that are held or beholden to certain blocks within their ranks.
Absolutely. And Rolene Marks, there we are going to leave it. Time is 5:24. You have a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, a weekend of peace and tranquility. And we'll pick it up with you again on Monday afternoon.
Shabbat Shalom. I'll speak to you on Monday, but tomorrow I will be causing my usual mayhem and destruction in the studio.
Oh, we will definitely take notes of that. What time are you on the morning mayhem? 7:45 on the morning mayhem.